Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Amen. Choir, thank you for sharing. And musicians, thank you for playing. Thank you for making much of the name of Christ, whether it be in the choir special or how you've led us in congregational song. I love our choir. I love to hear you sing. And thank you for sharing with us today. You can take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 22. We're going to be in Acts chapter 22 today. I'll echo Will's words and say a welcome to guests today. Glad you're here. Thankful that our members are here. But man, I love it to see when guests come. If there's any way we can minister to you, we'd love to know that. I'll be right behind you at the end of the service. Hope you'll come back and introduce yourself to me today. Today in our Go and Tell series, the message is really simple, and it's entitled this: Go and Tell Your Story. Go and tell your story. And throughout our study in the book of Acts, as we have been encouraging one another to go and share the gospel, well, we're certainly not taking our emphasis off the gospel, but today we're going to talk about our testimonies. You know, three times in the book of Acts, we did it in Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at it today in Acts chapter 22. But then also in Acts chapter 26, three times Luke recounts the conversion of Paul. You wonder, why is that? And you think, well, you know, he was a bad writer. No, I don't think he was a bad writer. I don't think it was because he had forgotten what he had recorded in the past. Now, why would he record almost verbatim three different times the conversion of the Apostle Paul? Well, I believe it's because it was the powerful aspect of this conversion. Matter of fact, I'm often asked, Marty, what is it in the Word of God that just makes you believe the Word of God is true? Well, I always begin by saying this. I believe the Spirit of God has just shown this as I've studied the Word of God. The Spirit of God gives testimony that it's true. But if you're talking about what is recorded in Scripture, there's several things I point to. First and foremost being the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Over 500 witnesses gave testimony that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified by professional killers. Okay, it wasn't that he almost died and he came back. No, he was crucified and killed by professional killers, and he came back to life, and over 500 people gave testimony to that. Other things that I will mention is just the fact that you have people who are willing to die because they believed in the resurrection and power of Jesus. They were willing to be beheaded, to be crucified. Human beings will not die for a lie. If there was something that I knew was a lie, if I had been the one to take Jesus' body out of the tomb and go hide it somewhere, and I knew that he really wasn't alive, and I was going to be crucified, No, I'm not willing to die for something that I know is untrue. Yet disciple after disciple were willing to die over the resurrection. I also point to things, the fact that the heroes of the Bible, whether it be the one that Jesus said, the greatest born of a natural birth, John the Baptist, at the end of his life, he sends people to Jesus saying, "Are you really the Messiah?" King David, man after God's own heart. We certainly have documented his sins of adultery and murder. If you were writing the story of the Bible, the people that we say we want to hold up the most, we wouldn't include all their faults. We would just talk about What were the good things about them? And the last thing I will mention, I usually put it higher up the list, is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. What is it that would make a man who hated Christianity enough that he would be willing to martyr men, women, boys, and girls, that he would so oppose the gospel? What would make that man become the chief proponent and chief proclaimer, chief missionary of the gospel? He certainly wasn't paid to do it. He wasn't threatened to do it. Yet he gave a testimony of a changed life, and everything about his life was changed. That's just one of the things I point to say, you know, when I read this, I said, man, this has to be true. There's power in a testimony. There's power in your testimony. So today, I want us to look at, how do we share our story? How do we share the gospel? But as we are sharing the gospel, especially with people we get to know and we have a relationship, they're going to know, how have we applied the gospel? What does it mean to be a Christ follower? And they're going to want to hear when we became a Christ follower. So we're going to see today, how do I share my story? Let's begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 22. There is a mob that has risen up in Jerusalem. You know, we studied that Paul was warned not to go to Jerusalem, but he knew that's what God wanted him to do. He goes there, he's preaching the gospel. A mob rises up against him, he's arrested. And before they take him away to be turned over to the Gentiles, and both the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders are there, but also the Roman soldiers are there. And they just assume that Paul, being a Roman citizen, that he is a Gentile, and he's going to surprise them with his defense that he's going to lay out. That's where we begin in verse 1. He says this, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city," talking about Jerusalem, "at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are all today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears witness and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains all those who were there to bring them to Jerusalem to be punished." Okay, so he says, "I'm a Jew. I was brought up right here. I trained." Paul was a Pharisee. Now, we learned about Gamaliel in Acts chapter 9. He was the most respected teacher of the law. Remember, he was the one, when they were persecuting the Christians, he was the one that had the wisdom and said, "Leave them alone." And remember his reasoning was this: if this is of God, we can't stop it. But if it's of man, it'll stop itself. So don't worry about it. So he says, I am Saul the Pharisee. I was just as zealous as you were when it comes to Christianity. But then he's going to share his conversion. Verse 6, "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And I'll just throw this in. When he says be baptized, he's talking here not just a water baptism, but a filling of the Spirit of God. Because just be reminded, water baptism doesn't wash away your sins. The blood of Christ washes away your sins. So when he says, why are you waiting? Right, he said, being dwelt with the Spirit. Surrender your life, being dwelt with the Spirit. And we know that according to Paul's testimony that what followed was a water baptism also. But I want us to focus on today sharing our story. How do we think about our testimony? How do we converse about our testimony? How do we share what Christ has done for us? Well, just three things I want to mention today. First of all, you begin with your commonplace. You begin with your commonplace. So you are a Christ follower. You want to share your faith. You're engaging with someone who doesn't know Christ. You begin and you take them to the time before you knew Christ. That's what Paul is doing. He begins to share with them the testimony of his life before he knew Christ. And he said, listen, I'm a Jewish man. I'm a devout man. I was trained under Gamaliel. And then he goes as far as say, I was not just apathetic toward Jesus Christ. I was the enemy of Christ. I sought every way I could. Verse 4 affirms this, to bind, to imprison, to punish even to death those who were claiming that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He then talks about his need. About the need that he had. He was where they are. That he needed salvation in his life. See, the reason this is important for us to share is because you will meet people who think that you're a Christian because you were born that way. You're a Christian because you were born into a Christian family. Well, no, what we began and we share, no, just as you are, I once was. This can especially be true when you have cross-cultural experiences in sharing your faith. I met an individual and got to witness to a man from Pakistan. And I was sharing with him the gospel and sharing my story. And here's what he said. He said, Marty, you're a Christian because you were born a Christian. You were born in America, so you're a Christian. And I said, you don't know all the Americans, do you? I mean, there's being in America doesn't make you a Christian. But his belief was this, because you were born in America, you're a Christian, and because I was born in Pakistan, I am a Muslim. He said, Marty, if I was born here, I would be a Christian. If you were born in Pakistan, you would be a Muslim. There are going to be people who think that you are a Christ follower because you were born a Christ follower. And what we must understand is set that common ground that no, we were not born Christ followers. We were born lost. We are sinners out of choice, but we are sinners because of a sinful nature that we receive at birth. So we set that common ground, the same need that you have now, I once had in my life. Matter of fact, we can go as far to say the Bible says that before I came to faith in Christ, I was at war with God. You may think, Marty, I wasn't at war with God. That's what the Word of God says. That we were at war with God before we confessed him. So what do we do? How do we share about our life before Christ? Well, just a couple of things. Number one, don't ever glorify your past sin, your past life. Sometimes when you begin sharing your testimony, it's almost like people are trying to figure out who could outdo the last person. You know, well, you think you were bad. Let me tell you what I did. Okay, we don't glorify our past life. We glorify what Christ has done. Another thing, don't laugh about your past sin. You know, I don't think Paul here is sharing about how he persecuted Christians. I don't think he's doing that with a smile on his face. I don't think he's that. I think he is brain, I think he's broken because of his past sin, and our past sin should break us. We shouldn't laugh about it. We shouldn't joke about it. We need to be clear that, hey, I was there. I understand where you are. I wasn't born a Christian. And the same need that you have, I have experienced in my life. And when we establish that, then we can move and begin to share about the grace of God in our life. That leads to the second point of the message. We begin with our commonplace that we once were where they are, and then we share our conversion story. And that's exactly what Paul does in verses 6 through 13. Paul shared how he came to faith in Christ. It begins with Jesus Christ drawing him into a relationship. Okay? He sees this light. He falls to the ground. He's blinded. He hears a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then Saul says, who are you, Lord? And we may think, we kind of see the word Lord as a name for Jesus, but here Paul is using it, the word kurios, and he's using it in a way in which he's saying, well, he's not saying you're the Messiah, but he's saying, I know you're more powerful than me. So he says, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. So Paul shares that Christ appeared, I was blinded, he spoke into my life, and then notice Paul's surrender. What would you have me do, Lord? What do you desire? And the Lord told him, you're going to go into Damascus, and there you will be told what you are to do. So he surrenders, he does exactly what Christ tells him to do, and then he gets that word that, hey, you know, Christ as the one that's called you, and then he even tells him you're going to be a witness to him, and then giving testimony that he surrendered his life, that he turned to Christ, we see Ananias say to him, arise and be baptized to receive the Spirit of God that your sins are washed away. So Paul just simply shares his conversion experience. Now, if you're a Christ follower, if you've been saved, you have in some ways the same testimony in that the Spirit of God spoke into your life, the Spirit of God drew you to himself, you recognized your need, you recognized your sin, you turned from sin, you placed your faith in Jesus and surrendered your life to him. Now, the circumstances are going to be different. If you may say, well, no, Marty, I was on my way to Damascus, a blinding light came, I fell on the ground, and I heard Christ's voice. Is that your testimony? I doubt it, but if it is, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. And I really wish you would come tell me. So while our conversions are similar in that how a person is saved, the circumstances are very different. So you think, okay, when was I saved? Who was it that was proclaiming the gospel to me? Was it a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist? Was it a family member? Where was I when I turned to Christ? Was it a very short period of time that Christ was speaking in my life, or was it a long period of time? See, that makes your testimony very unique, but it's still powerful. Okay, as we began the book of Acts, we see where there were people, you know, there were 3,000 and then another 2,000 that embraced Christ as Savior. So we hear about the masses come, but the further we go into Acts, we hear about individual testimonies. We hear about an Ethiopian eunuch. He was not blinded by a light. He was simply sitting on the road. He had one of the scrolls of the book of Isaiah. Philip comes along and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I understand what I'm reading? I don't know what I'm reading. How can I understand it?" And it was explained to him. He surrendered his life to Christ and was baptized there. So he was searching for truth. We learned about a Philippian jailer. He wasn't searching for truth. He came to work. He heard that there were these rebel rousers, Paul and Silas, that were in the prison, and he was to watch over them. An earthquake comes, the gates are open, he runs in thinking he's going to kill himself because everyone's escaped. He sees that they're still there. He falls down and says to Paul, "What must I do to have the faith that you have?" So you have people coming to faith in Christ in similar ways. They saw their need, they repented, and they believed. But the circumstances were different. You need to understand and figure out, okay, when, write it down. What were the circumstances of your conversion? When was it? Dads, I challenge you, but I want to challenge moms too. Do your children know your testimony? I'm tired of talking to children the few days before a funeral, and I ask the question, did your mother or did your father know Christ as Savior? And they have this blank look, and they say, "We don't know. They never talked about it." Tell your children of when you came to faith in Christ. Write it down. Let me tell you why it's so important, because what you may find out is that you don't have a testimony. You may find out that, well, you know what? I've never given Christ my life. I've attended church, but I've never trusted Him as Savior. See, our testimonies are powerful because we live in such a skeptical world. I'm in my 54th year, and just in my lifetime, I've seen where people who certainly weren't Christ followers would still defend the truth of the Bible. And now, in my lifetime, I've seen where people, they don't think quoting the Scripture is any more different than quoting Shakespeare. In their mind, it's just an old book. But people are very skeptical, and I think we ought to share the gospel, but oftentimes, when a person begins to trust and read the Word of God, will be part of their sanctification as their eyes are opened when they repent and believe and turn to Christ. But they will often want to know, well, what's Christ done in your life? Well, what difference has He made in your life? You're telling me I need Jesus. What's He done for you? And that's where we can share. How many of you buy things online? Raise your hand. That's a lot of you. That's most of it. Some people raised both hands on that one. I mean, you buy everything online, I guess. You know, I asked that in the first service, predominantly senior adults in the first service. Really didn't know and I was amazed at how many people. It took everything I had to look and say, really? No. I mean, a few hands that went up, I thought, there's no way. But they do. They buy everything online. Now, how many of you read the customer reviews before you buy something, okay? Don't be shy. Raise them on up there. You're not doing anything wrong. It's like, I didn't ask you to confess some bad sin. I see people going, I do also. I was about to buy, I need a flashlight, so I started to buy a flashlight the other day, and I was reading what it said about it. Man, this did everything except tell you the weather. And I thought, man, this is the one I want. I want this flashlight. And all of a sudden, I looked down at the gold stars, and every one of the reviews was like one star or two stars. Most of the reviews were just simply this: this is a piece of junk. So I didn't buy it. We're skeptical. We want to know what something has meant to someone else. Well, in a skeptical world, people want to know how the gospel you proclaim and say they need, they want to know what it's done for you and the change it's made in your life. So that's where we begin with where they are. We tell them, this is how Christ came into my life. This were the circumstances of how he drew me to himself, and I repented and believed. And now let me tell you about what my life has been like since I came to know Christ. And that is powerful. You don't have to be converted on a Damascus road. You don't have to be saved out of the gutter. Your testimony can be a powerful witness in the life of others. So we began with the common ground. We share our conversion story, and then simply we fulfill our calling. Paul shares how his salvation and his commission went together. He was not saved just to go and be a tent maker. He could have settled into a good lifestyle, probably up in the Macedonia area where he had been, and he could have just made tents. But no, when he was saved, notice exactly what Ananias said to him, as we look especially in our later verses, in verses 14, 15, and 16. Ananias said this: the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you would know the will of God, that you would hear his voice. Then he says in verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Well, the thing is, we're all called to be that witness, every one of us. You can say, wait a minute, that was specific for the Apostle Paul. Certainly aspects of it were. As he goes down into verse 21, he makes it clear that you're going to predominantly go to the Gentiles. But every one of us, according to the Great Commission, if we are a Christ follower, then we are to make disciples as we live our life. As we are going out, as we are going, make disciples of all the nations. So all of us, just like Paul, our conversion comes with a commission. And that is to go and share the gospel. But yes, statistics say that 80% of people who profess Christ as Savior will never in their lifetime share the gospel or share their testimony. 80%. That's just a phenomenal number. That would mean that, I mean, the overwhelming majority in this room. Now, I don't know if that applies here or not, but according to statistics taken, 80% will never share their story or share the gospel. I think it's because we don't see the power of this. We don't see how Christ working in our life can move in another life, how the Spirit of God can use that. So just like Paul, we take the gospel, we take our story, and we share it, and then we make sure we're faithful to come to that point when we're speaking into someone's life, whether it's a one-time experience with them or this goes on for months and months, but yet we don't neglect to come to that point where we ask the question, what keeps you from trusting Jesus as Savior? What keeps you from turning from your sin and calling on the name of Jesus? See, if we understood the power of a changed life, of a converted life, where it takes no more grace no more grace to save the most hardened sinner as it does the child. It's all the grace of Jesus. When we understand that, we'll be quick to share. You know, I remember August of 1977, Camp Caraway, RA camp, on a Thursday night by a bonfire. Some of you have been hearing that story now for 22 years, okay? I remember the gentleman was speaking. I don't remember the text he preached, but I remember what he shared. He shared the fact that he had only been a believer for a little more than a year. He was a college student who had grown up in church. And all of a sudden I think, well, I've grown up in church. I mean, I'm younger, I'm 10, but I've grown up in church. And I remember him saying that for me, you know, my faith was about my parents. And I went to a college Bible study, and it was there that I understood that I had never surrendered my life to Christ. And that I couldn't get to heaven because of the faith of my parents or my grandparents. I had to surrender my life. And I remember the Spirit of God using that in my life because I felt like I'm just hearing an older version of me. Because I was growing up in church. I was there every time the door was open. My joke is I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church every time that the doors were open. But faith was nothing to me. It was what my parents and my grandparents had. And I remember hearing that testimony, the Spirit of God using that in my life to say, Marty, your faith has to be your own. And I remember there with the help of a counselor praying a prayer of repentance and a prayer of belief and knowing. And I really never doubted that. Since that time, I know that Christ saved me. Again, I don't remember the text. I remember the power of a testimony and how the Spirit of God used that. And how he used his story to share the gospel with me. See, I want you to know I want you to be able to share the gospel, to have the tools you need. But I also want you to see and understand the power of your story as you share the gospel, how it can be a powerful illustration of how God can change a life. And not only change a life, change a destiny. Let's make sure that we are going and telling. We spend an entire year in the book of Acts about going and telling. Let's understand and let us know our story and be able to share what Christ has done for us. Let's pray together. Father, I pray. I pray for one today that really, they couldn't write down their testimony. And they've lived in doubt for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, not knowing they've been faithful to attend a church, but not knowing if they've ever really surrendered their life to you. But I pray that you would either give them assurance of their faith or speak into their life and show them their need for repentance and faith. Lord, I pray for the one today that's struggling to share. Lord, you give them your courage to share the gospel and also to share what you've done in their life with people they meet. Lord, give us all the strength to share you with others. Lord, we have a story to tell of what you've done for us. Let's not hide it under a basket. and let's tell the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.